Heading in verse number 1, the Bible says this, that in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did wonders and miracles among the people. The book of Acts records the days of the early church. Here we find that these days were marked by great numbers of people coming to Christ and being saved. As the church began to grow, the need for help arose. You had these apostles, these disciples, and they could not get around to all the duties that needed to be done. There arose a murmuring among some of the Greeks that had been saved, and as they began to complain somewhat, they said that some of the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration, that perhaps in the giving of these alms to the poor, that they were not able to get by them. And so the Bible says that the Lord instructed them to seek out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that they may appoint them over that work. The congregation needed to be served. They needed help. And the preachers didn't have enough time to look after the spiritual needs as well as after the physical needs. And so the church was instructed here to select from their number a group of men that would serve over the church. Now, beloved, in the very beginning, I want you to see something about this office of a deacon. And the Bible only calls, there's only 2 offices that the Bible specifies, and that is the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon. Now, I want to say in the very beginning that deacons were never intended to function as a church boss. They were never intended to be a governing board. In fact, if you look at the word deacon, it translates this in the Greek, it means a table waiter. It means a domestic servant. It means one that attends to the needs of others. And literally, the word deacon means to kick up the dust. And what that implies is that this is a man that is so busy about meeting the needs of folks and taking care of the business of the church and make sure that everything is going properly, that he's stirring up a cloud of dust. I think about the cartoon character, what is his name? Pigpen, right? He's got that little cloud of dust that goes along with him. And how appropriate with Brother Frank, amen? But anyway, I'm sorry. Take that out. All right. But he's talking of a deacon is a servant, like a table waiter, someone that comes over and says, can I get you something? Can I get you some coffee, can tea? Or is your food okay? And he's picturing someone that is altogether serving. Now, I want you to see in Acts chapter 6 for just a few minutes about this man by the name of Stephen, how that he was a godly man. And as we think about this man, Stephen, you might say, preacher, I'm not a deacon. I'm just a churchgoer. I'm just a family man. Preacher, I'm just a young person. I'm a lady. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, but it does. Because the characteristics that Stephen had ought to be characteristics that we have in our lives today. As we sang that chorus a moment ago, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like him in every way of life, in every walk of life. Let our meditation of our hearts and be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in the sight, to be like Jesus. And so first of all, I see about this man Stephen. Notice in verse number 3 in chapter number 6, he was a man of honest report. Here is a man, the Bible says, that he was given to an honest report. That means he had a good testimony inside of church as well as outside of church. It's awfully easy to come into the house of God when everybody looks good and everybody smells good and everybody acts good to have a good testimony. But when you leave this place and tomorrow when you go back into the ways of the world, and when somebody lashes out against you, and when somebody criticizes you, and somebody calls you something that you don't like, it's very hard to be like Jesus. But here is a man that was full of the Holy Ghost of God. He was a man that had an honest report, and here he had a good testimony all the time. This phrase here means that the men chosen to be deacons must have a good name among the people. These men, these first deacons, were entrusted with the church's money in the very beginning here. And these people needed to trust these men. You see, beloved, I still believe today that we need men of God that are trustworthy of the office of deacon. These are men of personal integrity. These are men that will do right regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances. They are men that you can count on even when the going gets tough. Can I have an amen there? These must be men that speak the truth in their words and in their walk. They must be blameless. In other words, they must be men that no one can point an accusing finger at, and that no one can say, hey, you know, I saw you last week coming in this, going out of this bar or whatever else. These are men that have an honest report, not only in the church but outside of the church. They are men that have respect of the unsaved as well. Second of all, this morning, notice in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 3 and verse number 5 and verse number 8. He was a man, Stephen was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost of God. Don't let that word scare you. Don't let that term be foreign to you this morning. Look in chapter 6 verse 3. And they said, seek you out 7 men, honest report and full of the Holy Ghost of God. Notice in verse number 5. It says, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look, and if you would please, in verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Go down to chapter 7 and verse number 55 quickly. And the Bible said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Every day we live, we make decisions. We make choices. Either we are led of the Spirit of God or we are led of an evil spirit. One of the two. When things come into your life and bombard you, when that temptation comes, either you yield to it or you don't yield to it. And by the good grace of God, it's by the Holy Ghost of God that gives us the power that says no. That the Holy Ghost of God is the one that fills us with power to serve Christ, to live for God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I preached last Sunday Peter. Yeah. And what were you thinking, Peter, when the rooster crowed the first time? The Holy Spirit of God, and don't raise your hand, but I'll say this to you. The Holy Ghost of God dealt with my heart last Sunday. Yes, He did. And I had to do business with the Lord last Sunday. After folks began to leave, Brother Frank, the Holy Ghost of God came up, and you were my sheep last Sunday, and I took that staff, and I began to prod you, and I began to push you in the side. And the Holy Ghost of God, Sister Tammy, He'll push us in the side. He'll prick us in our heart. He'll convict us when we do wrong. And it could be just something minor. It could be that you got mad at somebody, and you said, ah! And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to get that right. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit of God, so that when he walked down the street, he was led of the Spirit. He began to speak. He began to talk. He began to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And when he spoke, words of wisdom came out of his mouth. When he walked, he showed the people what Jesus Christ really was, to be like Christ. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost of God. Number three, notice in chapter 6, verse 5, he was full of faith and power. Look in chapter 6, verse 8 quickly this morning. The Bible said, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people." Wonders and miracles among the people. Here was not a called preacher, not one that was received a call from God as men of God do. But he was a man surrendered to the Lord that could say, "I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve the Lord." And notice here in chapter 6, verse number 8, he did wonders and miracles. He had a compassionate heart. He was one that would go by and he would see somebody that needed help. He didn't have to help them, but he wanted to help them because he had a compassionate heart. Thank God for some folks that come by that, out of love, out of compassion. Aren't you glad that sometimes somebody just comes and does something good for you out of nowhere? Say amen. Here was a man that was full of faith and power. Number four, quickly, he was a man who knew the Scriptures. Wow. In chapter number 7, we're not going to read all of it, but you know the story. Hopefully you know the story that Stephen here was accused of teaching things that were not lawful. And here in chapter number 7, they brought him before this council. In verse number 1, the high priest said unto him, "Are these things so?" He was brought before this religious group. Now watch in chapter 7. I don't have time to read all of it, but let me quickly tell you the story. And so they gave Stephen an opportunity to speak. And without the Bible, without the Old Testament Scriptures at his hand, he began to speak extemporaneously. That means off the cuff, so to speak, out of the mind, out of the heart. And the Bible says he began to preach unto them. He started at Abraham and went down to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. He talked about the birth of Moses, and he talked about him murdering the Egyptian. He was 40 years in the desert. He saw the burning bush, deliverance of Israel, writing the Ten Commandments, building the tabernacle. He preached about David, Solomon, building of the temple, and then he went through the crucifixion of Christ, all without notes. Whew, I don't think I could do that. I know I couldn't. Here a few Sunday nights ago, I got in a panic fit. I sat in my office, Joanne, you were here, I think. I sat in my office and I had my notes, Josh. I'm a notes guy. You notice I don't go too far from that pulpit up there. You know, I'm a notes fella. My mind's not that good sometimes. Oh, let me take that back. I have the mind of Christ. But I had my notes in the office, and I was studying. I was getting ready so I had all that together, and I just took and I stuck them in my Bible. I thought I'd put it right where when I opened into the book of Psalms. And when I opened into the book of Psalms, it was time for me to preach. No notes. So I'm looking, I call, let's sing another song. Let me find notes. No notes. And so I spoke extemporaneously. What does that mean? Shoot from the hip, off the cuff, just whatever comes to mind. And somebody said, "Hey, you did a pretty good job at that." I don't want to do it all the time. I'm a notes guy. But can you imagine Stephen? Here he was. Either he was so engrossed in the Bible, either he was filled with the Spirit of God, but when he opened his mouth, man alive, he began to preach Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses his lifetime and David and Solomon, the building of the temple and the crucifixion of Christ, all from his heart. What a man. Amen. We need to be people of the Bible. We need to be people of this book. It ought to so engross our lives that we can't live without it. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you read it before you came to church this morning? I'm not asking you how many, but how many of you read it this week? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you read it and feasted upon it? Notice number 5 quickly. He was a man who gave his life for his Lord.
In the end of chapter number 7 here, the Bible said in verse 56, 55, these men became so agitated at him that they took Stephen and they began to cast stones upon him and they killed him. Stephen gave his life for his Lord. We need to give our lives. I'm not saying you have to go out and die a martyr's death. I'm not saying you have to go on a mission field and die on the mission field, but I'm saying, is it not too much to ask? A while ago, Brother Steve asked how many of you knew Christ as your Savior, and there's a great number of folks that said, yes, yes, I know Him. Is it not too much to ask? Only one life. Only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want to challenge you something. You know, I've been here going on 11 years now. When I first came here in 2003, I looked around and Josie Parrish was about this size. And this is before you knew him. Josh was up here, you know, how old were you then, 2003? 10? 10 years old. See, I'm pretty good. 10 years old, singing up here with the little kids. Brandy is singing with the little kids. Now they're grown. 10 years. I want to ask you a question this morning. Ask yourself, what will matter 10 years from today? What will matter 10 years from today? And then ask yourself this question. What will matter 100 years from today? You see, all of us are going through this world awfully fast. Brother Steve, you and I, you know, the almond tree has flourished. I said Wednesday night, and most folks didn't know what that meant. That means that our hair has turned white. Mine's not only turning, it's falling out. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord knows the hairs of your head. They're numbered. He's doing subtraction on mine. Say amen right there. What will matter 100 years from today? I won't be here in this physical body. But my friend, what will matter in our lives? What we're leaving behind? What we're teaching these kids? What are we doing for God? I mean, you might say, I've got a good bank account. I've got money. I got stocks. I got this. I got that. I'm set for life. What will matter 100 years from now? Notice the end of Stephen's life. They took him out and they throwed stones. They beat him. And there the Bible said this. In verse 56, Stephen said, behold, I see the heavens open. And those of you have your Bible still open, read this with me. And the Son of Man, what is he doing? That next word, the Son of Man, what? Say that one more time. He's what? Standing. Now, wait a minute. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the Lord Jesus is now seated on the right hand of God the Father. But Stephen, when he died, the Bible says that he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus. And I don't think, I know it's not a misunderstanding, it's not a mistranslation. He saw Jesus standing. Wow. When someone has a great achievement, when someone has a great speech, all of a sudden, the crowd starts clapping. And what do? They stand to their feet. And I would just like to say, I think that when Stephen looked up into heaven, I think the Lord Jesus stood up and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on home. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven like that? Amen. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven with the Lord Jesus saying, thank God, thank you for your service. Thank you. You've been faithful over a lot of small things. You've suffered a lot. You've endured a lot. You've gone through trials and troubles and temptation. But thank God you still served me. And he says, welcome home. Welcome home. But then last of all, notice, even in his death, he had an influence. Notice what happened in verse number 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Standing over there in the shadows with a young man by the name of Saul of Tarshish. And as the rocks began to fall, the rocks began to beat him. And as Stephen looked up toward heaven and he said, I see the heavens open. I see Jesus. There stood by on the side a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who later persecuted the church, who hated Christians. From church history, it was said that he probably killed at least 5,000 Christians before Acts chapter 9, when God smote him on the day when he was on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he had a life-changing experience. But I believe this, that as that man, Saul of Tarsus, stood by and watched that young man, Stephen, give his life, something happened. Down here pricked his heart. He said, there's something to this thing. And I believe it made an impression. Oh, would to God that our lives would make an impression on somebody else. I don't want to just go through life existing. I want to be able to say, thank God, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. There's henceforth a crown laid up, but not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing.